it's not like this every day around here at Cap Cancers. All the big wigs stopping by the studio, Chris Check, Todd Agliolaro, all the bosses come around. What is that? Who could have possibly been in the studio that they all wanted to visit with? It could be our guest, Rose Sweet.
No.
They don't do that for me, Rose.
No, they didn't do
it
for me.
I never see those people.
They didn't do it for me either. It was a coincidence.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it was. This hour, we talk about marriage, annulments,
divorce, remarriage,
all those realities of the world, not all ideals, but all certainly realities that we have to face. And our guest is Rose Sweet. And Rose is one of those people we trust around here on all those issues. She's been dealing with issues of separation, divorce, annulment, remarriage, blended families, and all that for a long time. Her books include Dear God, Send Me a Soulmate, Healing the Divorce Heart, Rebuilding After Divorce, How to Make Your House a Home Again, and also the most recent book that I have read, The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness.
You are a man, and yes, you read The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness.
I waited till my wife was not in the room, took it off of her nightstand, and decided I'd give it a go. Yeah. So.
And did you like it?
I did. I find I really like you in print.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I like to tell stories.
It's a nice contrast from my feelings about you in person.
No, don't go there. This is a Catholic show. Come on. You have to be nice to me.
Sorry, I'm only kidding, Rose. Yeah, it's nice. It's always nice when someone's personality actually comes out in their writing. Like that. And you have lived a not straight path yourself in life.
Okay, let's call it what it is. I have lived a very sinful life in the past.
Really?
No, I'm not afraid to say it. I still regret.
Yeah.
But our Lord has been faithful to, woo me back to himself.
That's the thing that I get in your writing is you would like other women, I mean, us men as well, but other women to find that joy that God gave you.
Yeah.
A joy that doesn't come from being perfect.
Right.
But comes from being beloved.
Right. And trusting in him.
Amen.
And being able to breathe because of it.
888-318-7884 is our number here. If you have questions about divorce and remarriage and the Catholic teaching on marriage itself, 888-318-7884. You get the sense sometimes in the current commentary on marriage is, look, people don't know what they're doing when they're young. Like, give them a break. Is it that hard to understand, first of all, the basics of marriage, but also what the church teaches about marriage? Is it that hard to understand?
No. I love that you asked that because this is the nitty-gritty. People have been getting married young for centuries.
Yeah.
And youth in itself doesn't mean that they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
You know, people can understand clearly this is till death. And you should be faithful to each other and love each other properly and be open to children. People can understand that. The problem is in our culture, in the last few decades especially, is that people have gone into marriage with that understanding, but also with the contrary beliefs that they don't have to have children ever or that they have the option for divorce. That's a legitimate and reasonable belief that if I'm not happy, God wants me to be happy. And I'm going to give it my best shot in this marriage. But if I'm not happy, I have the right to exit. And the church needs to support that. That's a reality. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, there's a lot of churches with a cross on the front door who you can walk into, and that is exactly what they will tell you.
Right. And so we do. So now today, and that's one of the reasons that we have way too many annulments in the Catholic Church. It's not because they're handed out like candy from the tribunals. It's because we have way too many people entering. And I was just talking about somebody at lunch today, too. Marie in the other room.
Assistant
there.
Producer Marie?
Yeah.
We were talking about. Did she pay for lunch?
No, we went Dutch.
She should have paid.
She was talking about her young girlfriends. All they're in their 20s. And they're desperate. They want to get married before they're 30. They got to have a family. And they almost don't care who they marry. They're so needy, they can't see straight. And so they're making really bad judgments on entering marriage.
But even bad judgment, I mean, as long as there's no defect in your judgment, you can make a mistake, get married, and it's a permanent marriage. Or am I wrong?
No, that's right. Nobody has perfect judgment. Nobody knows what to expect.
No, someone married me.
No comment. Come on. That's agreement. You be nice to me today. Yeah. I'll be nice to you.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And
we
can be mean to Missy, my wife. No, that's not really true. I'm only kidding. I'm sorry, Rose. You definitely bring out the worst.
No, we need Father Hugh to give you confession here, to hear your confession.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's get back because this is important.
Yeah.
So no, we don't have perfect judgment or we don't know, nobody knows exactly what they're doing, but the basics of marriage are easy to understand.
Yes.
And we can choose somebody that's like maybe a very difficult spouse. The church recognizes there are valid marriages that are very difficult.
Right.
But they're not invalid.
Yeah.
But what happens is when the marriage crashes and burns and somebody comes to the tribunal, one of the parties or both, and says, look, can you help us take a look at this? What happened? Did we even have a valid marriage bond to begin with?
Right.
Then that's where the church steps in and says, well, let's take a good, hard look at everything. That's what the annulment process is.
888-318-7884. Again, the number, however, the lines are filling up, so you will want to get in on that. Rose, because the lines are filling up, shall we just go to the phones?
Well—
Or did you want to do something else?
Could we just talk about those little things that I sent you in the email?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're really important.
Yeah, right.
Do you even remember what they are?
No. I'm sorry. I just forgot and started going to the phones, and now let's go to the phones. Flummoxed me. Let's go to the next of those points.
Okay.
Because I know I did one of them.
I know there's a lot of flack out there in social media and about divorced and remarried Catholics and receiving Holy Communion. This is a big, serious topic. But the church has laws about this, both in the Catechism and canon law, for us to remember this is God. We are going to receive and have this intimate spiritual, physical encounter with God Himself. And toward that end, we are to be properly disposed. And I love what Cardinal Raymond Burke said in 2007 when he talked about this topic. He said, some people are not to present themselves for Holy Communion to protect the dignity and the sanctity of the sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, to preserve and protect, safeguard the salvation of the soul of that person. Because they go, oh, I can do whatever I want. They could do that all the way to hell.
I can do whatever I want is never a good prescription for getting to heaven.
And number three, Cardinal Burke says, is to safeguard the sanctity of the rest of the body of Christ, to help avoid scandal.
Right.
So those three reasons are why non-Catholics shouldn't approach to receive Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Obstinate, publicly, gravely manifest great public sinners are not to approach for Holy Communion. Here's one we all forget. If you broke your 1 hour fast, you are not to approach for Holy Communion. What? God loves me? He doesn't care. Hang on. And even little sweet children, if they don't have the proper disposition and understanding of the Eucharist, they are also not to present themselves. And this is not to be exclusive, but it's to protect and safeguard something very, very, very precious. And I think people forget that.
Right. And it's okay. I feel like I'll tell you who I think gets this more than a lot of us Anglo-Catholics, Mexican Catholics do. Mm. You go to Spanish Mass. There's a lot of people that don't go to Communion. And you get a sense that, well, maybe there's a little – now, there could be bad reasons for it too. I don't know all the details. But you get a sense of everyone's not just like treating this like we all got to go now.
I love that. And I'm not going to confess my sin on the air, but there was a time when I would just march up for communion regardless because God loved me and I'm a good person, right? Yeah. But then when I had this reversion to my faith and understood what was happening here – I remember one time I wasn't sure, but there could have been a possibility I was actually in mortal sin. And so I sat in that pew, and for the first time in my adult life, I didn't go to communion. And everybody was like giving me weird looks and walking over me. And I was like, I can't I don't want to go before our Lord. I know he loves me, but I can't go there right now. And I knew I had to get to confession first.
And all those looks that people give you, that's something that we do here in the United States that I don't think that it happens everywhere in the world. I mean, just it could well be that the person who is not going to communion is just simply not feeling that they are in the proper state of mind
exactly.
for communion, or they broke the fast accidentally and they're like, oh man, even if you go, oh, I didn't realize it's time to go to church. I was just eating. Well, the proper thing to do is just refrain from going to communion. A lot of people say, well, Jesus understands that I forgot. Yeah, that's true. Jesus understands that you forgot, but it's a very simple.
Right. And, like, it's not even about Jesus as much as it's about us learning to sacrifice just in the tiniest way as a response to the great sacrifice he did for us.
Right.
It's about his love for us.
All right. One more.
There's one more
point.
There is?
Wasn't there? Or did we get them all? We got them all? Okay.
I think that's pretty. That's good enough for now. Let's
what?
Take...
That's what I thought before. Well, it's good enough for now. I don't know. I didn't know we were allowed.
Just go to the callers.
No, I can't. I got to go to a break. Nick's making the go to a break symbol. We're talking divorce, annulment, and remarriage. And lots of calls on the line, but we do have two lines open for you. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
St. Paul says in the scriptures, knowledge puffs up. So I think maybe that's the connection between, unfortunately, a lot of modernity where we've discovered this intricate order to stuff and yet the rise of atheism among a lot of people. Remember when we were kids, we'd say, hey, I knew a few things. My mom or dad would say, yeah, that's right. You know a few things, a very few things.
Morning Glory. Talking about everything important to today's Catholic. Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. There's certainly, without question, a crisis in marriage around the world. And also, I do think Catholics are we're struggling with how best to defend marriage. And I know that there's statements that the Pope's made that have got people on edge and all that. And I don't understand that. It's fine to be on edge. But as you were saying, the basic teaching, we can know it. That marriage is permanent, that it's for the spouses and for the procreation and raising of children, that it's for the good of souls. It's not just for my momentary or fleeting satisfaction or happiness.
Right. And my spouse should come first. There's a strong and deep fidelity that the other person is my primary love relationship.
No.
Right. In an appropriate way. And I love today, I say I'm not a canon lawyer, and sometimes people make fun of me for that, but I don't have to be a canon lawyer to pick up the catechism and see what the church teaches, or to read scripture, or to go to Catholic.com. We're in such a wonderful age today, we can find out the truth of what Jesus said and what the church teaches on our own. Now, we need canon lawyers, and we need good, smart people when we're confused or I need an expert. But the average person has all this at their fingertips today, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Marco in Italy, watching on Facebook Live. Marco, thank you for joining us. Your question for Rose Sweet.
Oh, hi. I hope you can hear me. Thanks for allowing me to speak. Well, my question would be, how does the church see the civil marriage? I still have difficulties to figure that out.
Okay. What's the Catholic teaching on civil marriage?
Hey, Marco. Well, the Catholic Church understands that we are part of a civil community and knows that civil marriage protects husband and wife and children and family in the civil arena, and the Church sees that as good. However, the Church doesn't recognize a civil marriage alone as being an authentic Christian marriage. So is that what you wanted to know, or what else?
Well, you know, it makes me wonder, let's say, if someone is still in a civil marriage, can he marry in a church, or he has to get a divorce?
Okay.
A civil divorce.
Oh, that's a great question.
Okay, so yeah, it does get a little more complex. Okay, so if you're a validly baptized Christian, Catholic or not, and you enter marriage, the church presumes that that is a valid Christian sacramental marriage. If you're not baptized and you get married, that's also valid, but a natural marriage. There's no sacramental graces there. Okay, I know.
So, but it sounds like Marco or someone that Marco knows has been in a civil marriage, but not married in the church.
Okay.
So does he have to get a divorce?
No. Okay. If the person was married civilly and they're not Catholic,
yeah,
the church already recognizes that as a valid marriage.
Okay.
But if you're Catholic and you married outside the church and you only married civilly, the Catholic Church goes, come home, brother or sister. We don't recognize that.
So can you go to the priest and, like, what do you do then?
Yes. You make sure that you're in the state of grace, that nobody has prior marriages, and you come and have your marriage convalidated, not blessed, because you can bless a dog or a cat or a rosary. This is much more than a blessing. The Catholic Church will help you take that civil marriage and actually give you a marriage sacrament, a sacramental marriage.
Does that help you, Marco?
Well, it's still a little bit confusing, you know.
Well, Marco,
I have to make a research.
No, let me ask you a question. So, are you married outside the church?
No. I grew up in a very strong Catholic family. Never been married. I'm just wondering, if there's any recognition for a civil marriage, if the church sees any validity in a civil marriage, or sees nothing.
That's it. If you are Catholic, you are expected to marry in the Catholic manner, and that means come on down to church and get married and receive the sacrament. If you went to the courthouse or you got married civilly, the church does not recognize that. If you're Catholic, it does not recognize that as a valid marriage.
Okay. I think I got it.
Okay.
All right, Marco. I'm just saying that because we got to keep moving, Marco. Because right now every single line is full. Marco, thank you very much for that question. Let's go to Helen in New Jersey, listening on Domestic Church Media. Helen, your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, Rose. I actually took a divorce course through our church with you in your book and the video. And
hi, Helen.
So I was really excited to hear your voice. I was like, wait, I know her. I've been divorced for about 7 years. I initiated the divorce. Essentially, the quick and dirty is my ex-husband pretty much put the values of the children and their needs and wants before the marriage. And I was completely undermined and et cetera, disrespected. I mean, blah, blah, blah. So I ended the marriage. It was very bad. I ended it, and I moved away. And I know my ex wanted to, at some point get back together, but when I left, he found someone else and remarried. So we did not have the marriage annulled, but I'm just still suffering from a lot of anger. You know, it was... I just can't seem to get past the anger, and this is, 7 or 8 years later, to forgiveness, and I've seen counselors, and I just can't seem to get to that point.
Helen, I hear the pain in your voice. Do you have a good spiritual director?
I do not. Where do I find a good spiritual director?
Oh, well, that's we could talk for an hour about that. First of all, pray. Second of all, go to a wise and trusted priest friend that you know and ask him to recommend somebody who might be good for you. It sounds like you have a lot of layers that need talking out so that you can sort all your feelings together. It's impossible to just go, you should forgive and you should get over your anger. We can't do that in a second. With supernatural grace, we might be able to. But it sounds like you need some help, some counseling, and to just sort through drawing on your Catholic faith to get the big picture. because you probably have a right to be angry, but you don't have the right to hang on to it till it turns into bitterness. And I did that in the past, and that will only eat you up. So you can always email me after the show. If you saw me on the videos, you probably know my website. Get a hold of me, and I'll spend a little time with you.
Thanks, Helen. The website is complicated, though. We should probably say it, the address. Is it rosesweet.com?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It is.
That is complicated. Ken in Silverton, Oregon. Again, Helen, I apologize. Thank you very much for the call. Kent in Silverton, Oregon, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Kent, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Rose Sweet.
Well, hi there. I'd like to make this as quick as I can. I'm divorced, had the marriage annulled, remarried probably too quick, married a non-Catholic, but I was married in the church. That marriage fell apart. And my question real quickly is, should a person, if you feel like you're never going to be married again, that you're pretty much, you know, settled into single life, should you have that marriage annulled just to have it off the books, so to speak, or just let it lay, basically, with the church?
Well, Kent, first of all, every situation is different. And I would say in this second marriage, before you do anything else, make a good examination of conscience and make sure that you've done everything possible to make that second marriage work and to reconcile. And we don't need to go over the details, but that is an absolute first important step in considering how to move forward in the future. If you have, nobody needs an annulment after civil divorce. You are still married to your second spouse in the church. You're married. You may be living separate lives, but you're married in the eyes of the church. You can live a good and holy life as you are right now, offering up sufferings and trials for the salvation and the sake of your spouse. But if you want more closure or you want some questions answered, go learn about annulment. And also it may be that your former spouse or your spouse will someday seek an annulment on her own, and then you'll be drawn into the situation anyway. So you may want to just learn more about it and be prepared so that when you make a decision whether to do it or not, you know what you're doing, not just somebody, oh yeah, Rose Sweet said I should do it. Just, I want you to understand the benefits of doing it or not. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Kent. Thanks very much. Rose Sweet is our guest. Her latest book is The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness, but there's a new one coming. When is that, in May?
It's number 2 in a series of 4, yeah. And it's The Catholic Woman's Guide to Romance, and yes, it's coming in May.
Can men read it?
Men have to read it. They should read it.
To know how to...
men, read my book.
Okay. Thanks very much. Well, that validates that I'm a real man then, having read one.
Missy told me that you were a real man.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
Shoosh, finally. Yeah. Finally, she acknowledges the truth. Kevin in Jackson, Michigan, listening to EWTN Online. You are up next. Kevin, your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, sorry, Rose. Thank you. I am divorced about 8 years now. And neither of us are involved with anybody. I'm still interested. Any tips on how to spark that second romance?
Oh, you would like to return to living fully as a married couple with the woman you are divorced from? Is that correct?
That is correct.
I got you.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
all right.
That's kind of exciting.
Well, you're gonna need Rose's book.
Yeah, you will. Okay, so here's the thing. Put your salesman hat on. If you want to sell yourself and the prospect of getting back together the way God intended, you want to make it look good and possible to your client, to your spouse, right? So what is it that she wants? Do you know what she wants? Do you know how she wants to live out the rest of her life, how she sees a marriage going? That would be a first point of discussion, is to approach her and say, you know, if we got married again, what would have to happen? What are your must-haves and must-have-nots? And that would just be a good place to start to get to know her heart, because that's what all of us, all spouses, want to know, that our husband or wife is open to understanding the deepest part of us. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Yep.
So ask her, like you're doing a market survey, you know? What do you want, baby?
Okay, Kevin, thanks very much.
Let's pray for him.
We should, and it does happen that I know some people who got divorced and they are remarried again. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's very good when it happens. Kevin, thanks very much. Rose Sweet is our guest. Our topic, marriage, annulment, divorce, all those realities. More right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture's moral center continues to fly apart, and with every form of deviance publicly aired and celebrated, we have no choice but to equip our kids to understand about such issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. Silence can no longer be an option. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet, our guest. Rose's latest book, The Catholic Woman's Guide to Happiness. You can get it wherever you can get books. It's from Tan Books, right?
Yes.
And it's part of your 4-book series. Mm-hmm. Lots of folks on the line. We have 3 lines open, however. So if you have a question about maybe your situation or someone that you'd like to be able to help, or a more general question about annulments, divorce, remarriage, all that, 888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Chris in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Chris, your question for Rose Sweet.
Yeah, hi, Rose. I've been married for about 36 years, and my wife's been sick for about 3 of those last years, and the relationship has really gone south. A lot of verbal abuse and things said that, you know, you wouldn't say in a normal marriage situation. So I'm actually going to file for divorce because I've kind of reached the end of my rope, if you will, on solutions to try to give her help, because she doesn't accept any help. And I was just curious about the Eucharist part, and if this is a situation where our marriage would be eligible for annulment at some point.
Chris, only the a legitimate tribunal, a competent tribunal, can determine that. But let me tell you something. I want to tell you this story about a man who was married for over 40 years to a woman who had dementia, and she was so nasty to him. He couldn't be in the same room with her for 5 minutes. She was horrible. And he didn't know how to handle it. So he got a separate apartment, and he did not divorce her. He continued to support her financially and visit her. He tried daily, but sometimes it would last 2 minutes. But he tried to support her in any way that he could without being around her for so long, because for him it was absolutely unbearable. He was elderly, and she was horrible. I couldn't even be in the same room. And how did I know? Because it was my mom and my dad. So verbal abuse and this kind of thing is not grounds for annulment. It means it's grounds for prayer and begging God for grace. But there are legitimate options that you have if it becomes completely unbearable for you. And obviously we can't solve it today on the phone, but I would suggest getting a good, some good spiritual direction, talk to a good family therapist on getting her some help. You're right. She may not want it or respond to it, but you can. You can find good options for yourself that don't require divorce. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I've been seeking out of that path for a while, but it's nothing's really seeming to work. So that's why I'm conflicted about it. But
you know, Chris, our Lord never abandons us. And that's the basis for the church teachings on marriage. A difficult marriage is never grounds for this kind of a divorce or annulment. But you may separate if necessary, but you need some good guidance on this. So if you want to email me after the show, I'm happy to help you if I can.
Rosesweet.com is our website where you can find the information for emailing her. I imagine towards the later stages of our lives, someone has a stroke, someone gets dementia, marriage can become very, very difficult, and you're not getting any younger. So you reasonably might, in some cases, say, this is not bearable. I can't stay in the same house. I'm still going to care for and love this person, but
right,
it's just too much.
The easy way out is get a divorce, because it's clean and simple and you're free.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't do the, that violates the dignity of marriage and that person. You don't want to abandon her, but you also have to take care of yourself at the same time. There are ways around it that will keep your conscience clear.
Chris, thank you very, very much for the call. Again, 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We're talking with Rose Sweet about annulments, divorce, and remarriage. From a Catholic perspective, Richard in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130, EWTN. You are up next. Your question for Rose.
Good evening. Great show. My wife and I have been married probably 43 years, going on 44. And she has 3 or 4 times she's tried to get an annulment. She can't. So she's kind of given up on that. And as far as receiving the sacraments now, and our priest right now, but I've heard several different takes. I want to know your school of thought on as far as receiving the sacraments if you remain chaste. And we have probably for the last 4 or 5 years, we're both good with that. We're up in our late 60s, early 70s, but she can't get an annulment. She won't. So we remain chaste, and you can still receive the sacraments, but I've heard people say you can't.
Okay. It's a delicate situation, but I think, first of all, congratulations to both of you for taking the high path and doing the right thing. To receive the sacraments is much more valuable to the soul than sexual activity. And obviously, you know, Richard, that you are being intimate in many other ways in your love for each other and refraining sexually. So you give great witness there. Some people who are very visible in the church and very active, and everybody knows their story, and that there's no annulment and you're living together, and they can presume that you're still having sex and they don't know, that can cause scandal in some situations, depending on who you are and how involved in the church you are. In certain cases like that, you would want to get advice from your pastor or a good spiritual director. But most of the time, people don't know, and there's no cause for alarm. You just continue to do what you're doing and ask for God's grace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I've heard, you know, pretty much the same thing from a few different people, including our pastor. And he said what people really don't know doesn't concern them. And if they have no idea about your life, I mean, you're good.
Well, and again, it's not my opinion or even that other priest's opinion. It's what is the church teach? What does the church teach? And that's what I love about being Catholic. When we're confused or we hear different answers, we can always go right to the source.
And that goes back to what you said earlier, that there's basically three things we're protecting. The Christ in this represented in the sacrament, protecting the dignity of the sacrament,
right.
Protecting your own soul, both
right.
of which you're already doing.
Right.
But the third thing is the community.
Exactly. It's safeguarding the sanctity of the community so
yeah.
that they're not led astray either.
And it does sound like that Richard is checking all of those boxes.
You're a good husband, Richard.
Thank you. But we've heard, I know a few older priests, they just don't go along with it. They don't like the whole idea, period.
Ignore them.
It's just one of those things.
Pray for them.
I will. Okay. Thank you. Great show. Thank you for your information. Bye.
If you know the church is teaching, you're always free to follow the church's teaching, even if you find 10 priests who tell you not to.
Right, right.
Let's go to Sophia in Los Angeles, watching on Facebook Live. Sophia, thanks for joining us. Your question for Rose.
Hi, yes. It's more like an advice.
Okay.
I don't know what to do. Like, I have a fiance. We've been together for about 6 years. We got engaged in 2015. And we were planning on getting married this year. And we had a day, we had the church, we talked to the priest, I bought my dress. And all of a sudden, his parents, around last September, they started telling him, like, to leave me, to not get married.
Mm.
So I'm Mexican and he's from Iraq. So it's like, different cultures, I know, but I mean, we've been together for about 6 years. I'm very Catholic. I was thinking they were very Catholic. We got married in the court only in 2016. So, I mean, but he lived in his house and I lived in my house. Like, I told him, like, I wanted to wait to get married in the church. And we were planning it for this year, but out of nowhere, his parents, they just said, like, oh, you guys can't be together anymore because you guys fight much. But that's not even an excuse because we don't. I mean, we fight here and there, like, I guess, like everybody else. Like, we have differences. But, I mean, we still love each other. He doesn't want to leave me, and I don't want to leave him. So it's like...
So the problem is that the problem that you want advice from Rose on is his parents are advising him to not to marry you.
And to divorce me from the court.
And is he listening to that?
Like, well, he says he doesn't want to make them mad because they're kind of old, like they're in their 60s.
All right. 70s. Well, I think Rose has got enough information there.
Okay. Right. Sophia, I'm sorry. I know this is probably very frustrating. You're trying to take the right path and get married in the church the way God wants you to. But if he is choosing his parents over you, that's a form of infidelity to a spouse. The spouse, if he's not able to separate, as it says in Scripture, to leave your mother and father and cleave to your spouse, he's not ready for marriage as the church intends. He's got to make a choice, and you have to not make it easy for him. I think you should, out of love and justice and charity, be very clear and say, you have to leave your mother and father emotionally. And I understand it's hard for you because you love them. I get it. But I have to have yay or nay here. Because you got to take the high path yourself. It sounds like, though, if he's torn, he's torn between two lovers in a certain sense. He can't leave mom and dad to be married to you.
Does that sound familiar and correct, Sophia?
Yes, it does. But I told him, like, I don't want to be in the middle of his parents and him. Like, we were all getting along together. Like, we've been together for like 6 years, so it's like very confusing to what happened. Like, I don't know what happened.
Right, Sophia, I just want to bring it back to Rose's advice to you is just regarding your fiance. It's not about his parents.
Take them out of the triangle.
The question is he going to be married to you, or is he going to stay as their, still in his childhood relationship with them? He's got to pick. Do you feel comfortable letting him know he's got to pick?
Yeah, I told him, it says in the Bible, when you get married, you leave your parents and you go to your wife. But he says, yes, and I understand, but at the same time, it's like, if something happens to them, they're going to blame him because they're very manipulative. Like, his culture is very manipulative. So they want him to do whatever they want him. Like,
Sophia,
they want.
Sophia, honey, you can explain this to him morning, noon, and night, and you can argue and argue. And you know what? You're not in the middle. The parents are in the middle.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to recognize at some point this man isn't capable of marriage as God intended. Get some good counsel from a wise and holy priest on this.
Some men, though, once you – I say this from some experience. Once you knock them up the head with the reality of you need to make adult decisions now, they will.
Right. But
they'll start doing it.
But you can't say make your decision and then just sit there and make it easy for them not to make the decision.
No.
Sophia might have to get up and leave.
Yeah, so
you might have to leave to shock him out of his into his senses. You know?
Oh, and Sophia, one thing you should know: we get calls all the time from Catholic men. There's no good Catholic women to marry. So I'll say, Sophia's free. You know, if you are, if it comes to that, I'll be happy to let them know that you're free. was that wrong? Did I say the wrong thing?
Well, she does have that civil marriage to deal with.
Oh, anyway, I forgot. Yeah. I just wanted you to know. Yes.
And we shouldn't really be, I know we're laughing here, but so this is painful for Sophia.
Oh, yeah.
And I do understand that. We're going to pray for you.
But it's also true that Sophia points to a problem that lots of women are having now, which is men that won't grow up. And sometimes you need to just say to the man, you either need to grow up or this is not going to work.
Well, I do a lot of work for people who in the annulment process, and I can't tell you how often I hear that on the honeymoon, he talked to his mother for an hour every day on the honeymoon, or she talked to her father, or they brought their parents with them on the honeymoon and they hung out all day. So this stuff is real. This stuff is real.
Yeah, it is indeed. All right, Sophia, thank you very, very much. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's an interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
I've been saying this this week, and I just want to mention it again. We are now, as far as I know, there are now fewer than 10 spots left for couples to come with us to Rome November 4th through 13th. Chris Cech, our president, will be there. Our chaplain will be Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain here. My wife Missy and I will be your hosts. And we're going to check in at the really beautiful Hotel Colonna Palace on November 4th. It's just steps from the Pantheon. It's right there in Old Rome. You'll wake up every morning right in the heart of Rome, and each day we'll explore new aspects of the city of Rome and of Vatican City. We'd love it if you would join us, but seriously, there are fewer than 10 spots, to my knowledge. It may be fewer than that. I haven't got an update today. You just go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com if you want to come. It's going to fill up soon, and we would be delighted to have you with us. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Our guest today is Rose Sweet, expert on the pastoral care of those people who are married, those people who are divorced, those people who are married, divorced, and remarried, those who have annulments, those who don't have annulments. That's your, what would you say, bailiwick.
Yes.
That's your wheelhouse.
Yes. It's sad to say I got a lot of this wisdom the hard way by failing miserably myself. But
wisdom is worth the price, however.
I don't get paid to be here. Are
no,
you kidding me?
I don't mean that you're getting paid dollars. I mean, wisdom is worth the price that you have to pay in life to get
wisdom. You're right.
Wisdom is beautiful in all her raiments.
Yes, she is.
Catherine in North Carolina, listening on the EWTN app, you are up next. Your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I am a cradle Catholic and a devout Catholic at that. and my fiance and I are going to be getting married in the Catholic Church this summer. My fiance was not raised Catholic. He was raised in a very strict Baptist household. While when we got engaged, his family was very excited for us, and then over the course of the last week or so, his mother has expressed outrage, disgust, a lot of anger at the fact that we are proceeding to get married in the church, telling him that his grandparents are rolling over in their graves and this is immoral and he doesn't understand what he's doing. And I want to be clear, he's 39 and I'm 33, and we're not, we are well versed in what we're doing, and we're currently going through pre-Cana counseling. But anyway, I could really use some advice, we both could, as to how to deal with this particular situation. And for a little bit of background, his father is a Baptist minister, so I think that's probably adding a layer of difficulty here.
You think?
Catherine, yeah, God love you, honey. This is exactly why that we always recommend that we marry people within our same faith, because even though you love each other and you both love Jesus, these deep background issues can cause problems not just between the couple, but as you can see, the extended family. That being said, marriage is between you and him. And now you have a triangle like the previous caller, his parents and the family. He's the one who has to get those people out of the middle of your relationship. And that's probably going to be very painful for him and for you too, because I'm sure you love them. And you may not be able to convince them or change their mind in any way, shape, or form. It may even get ugly someday. But you guys have to come together and say, are we willing to do whatever it takes to move forward the way we know we have to move forward and be respectful to mom and dad, but to get them out of the picture and out between the two of us? Otherwise, you're going to have this triangle. Fulton Sheen wrote, it takes three to get married, but the third person
is
was Jesus.
The mom.
Right, right. It's not the mom and dad, exactly. Does that make sense, Catherine?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And you know, my fiance has not only agreed to get married in the Catholic Church, but to raise our children Catholic. He comes to Mass with me. He's been very open because he does not feel connected to the Baptist faith. And I suspect that maybe that's really what his mother's issue is here. But, you know, we're more than willing, both of us, to talk with her, and he's been very firm with her. But it's obviously a very sad situation, and it's hurting both of our hearts because we don't want dissension in our family.
Well, one thing I would offer, and this is for any relationship problem, is sometimes the other people just want to be heard and understood, and maybe you want to sit down, maybe even together privately, and say, Mom and Dad, what are you afraid of? Because it's fear that's motivating this in them right now. They're afraid of something. Help them talk that out and be as understanding as you can, and maybe that will help to some degree. Maybe not, but it's helped me in a lot of relationships.
Catherine, thank you. Appreciate that call. Hope that was helpful to you. Let's go to Richard in San Paulo, California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Richard, your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, Rose. I'm looking to see, do you believe that there's a spiritual warfare component to marriage and divorce, what's going on in society today?
Oh, yes. I believe there's a spiritual
warfare.
That's all.
I'll help you, Rose.
It's our whole culture, Richard. You're right. We are under grave attack right now, and we need the graces of the sacraments more than ever. And yes, marriages are under attack every way, shape, and form.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think Richard just wanted to make sure you weren't missing that component.
No, this stuff is real, but we don't need to be in fear of it because God did not give us a spirit of fear, and we have the graces and the sacraments to overcome. So,
yeah, but that it does speak to the fact that don't try to do your marriage alone. That's what the sacraments are for.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
And,
right. Good advice.
Carolyn, listening on Sacred Heart Radio in Cincinnati, Ohio. You are up next, Carolyn. Your question for Rose.
Hello. Let me give you a quick background. I was married civilly, and we did not get married in the church, unfortunately. I'm divorced now. My ex-husband was alcoholic and abusive, and after 22 years of marriage, I felt God saying that it's time to leave. I did get divorced. I know that I have to seek an annulment. That I just wanted to give you some background. That's not my question. My question is, I've been dating for about a year, a very nice man. He is becoming Catholic. We are remaining chaste in our relationship, but I've come for the last year to realize that I don't think I have the physical attraction to him, the romantic that I feel that you should have for someone. And I feel bad about this because he's a great, wonderful person. He's becoming Catholic and he's everything you'd want in somebody. But I just don't have any, I don't have that romantic, physical attraction. And everyone's telling me because I'm in my 50s, well, it doesn't matter your age anyway.
Well,
Rose, I'm confused by this.
Yep. Okay.
You're 50. You're not dead yet, for crying out the window.
Wait till you get to be 54. I'm just kidding.
No, you know what? Okay. This is, again, every case is different. If you're already ruining the fact that this isn't there and you desire it, this could turn into be a longstanding resentment in your marriage. So you have to be very honest with yourself about how important this is to you. We can't just be blanket, because to somebody else, it might be okay, but it might not be for you. And when you were talking, I was thinking about, I know a nice guy, and he goes to church and he loves the Lord and everything, but that doesn't mean I marry him. It doesn't mean he's suitable for marriage. Marriage is intended for the good of the spouses, and you should have that love and that spark at least to some degree. And again, this can get complex, but get some good counsel. Do you have somebody you know you can talk to, like a good Catholic therapist or a good spiritual director?
Yes, I do. I do. Examine
your motives, Carolyn. Examine your motives for marriage. Is it for loneliness? Is it for financial reasons? Is it for sex? What is it? And you don't need to say that to me now, but be brutally honest with yourself, because you've been given another chance to do this right. And it's far better to be lonely and alone than be in a miserable, miserable, miserable marriage.
Carolyn, thanks very much. I'm going to move because I think we can get another caller in here. Julie in Kansas City, listening on 91.9 FM. Your question, I'm sorry, but very quickly for Rose. Julie? Hang on, Julie. I pushed the wrong button. Go ahead, Julie.
You hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. My question is really, at what point as a spouse do I have the right to give up when my husband is suffering extreme mental health issues? He's a veteran. He's severe PTSD, verbally, emotionally abusive. We seek counseling both through the Catholic Church, private, through – he's actually at a rehabilitation center right now for 6 months.
Okay, Rose. Yep, we get the picture. Thank you. I'm very sorry to hear it, but Rose, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Julie. Well, this is where you need to just slow down and don't make any rash decisions. I know the emotions are running really high right now because this is very difficult. It can just wear you down to nothing. But take a deep breath, get some good counsel, and recognize there are ways to live together or separated and still preserve the marriage bond, or if you have to take care of your safety right away, that's the first thing. If you have actual safety issues, or take care of that. But then secondly, you can look at your marriage. Is this something that came into the marriage later that is not grounds for nullity? Or was there something very bad or an impediment at the very beginning? I'm not advocating divorce or annulment, but research it first. Research it first.
Julie, thanks very much for that question. Thanks everybody else who called today. And a particular thank you to you, Rose Sweet.
Thanks. So many hurting people. We all want to be loved and we're trying to do the best we can. But the Catholic Church is here to help.
Amen. And as my grandfather used to say, this world is not our home.
No, it is not.
We all that happiness and love, we will get there.
And some of us are a lot closer to it than others.
To the grave, is that what you're saying, Rose? I've been losing weight, Rose. I'm doing better.
Yeah, but your hair is still gray, 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 gray.
You can find out all about Rose at rosesweet.com, or maybe find her book, The Catholic Woman's Guide to to Happiness. 2 hours of open forum tomorrow. Any question at all from anybody at all about the Catholic faith is welcome. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.